Omaha Public Radio presents another program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We'll hear an address by Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, and founder of Centro Fox, formed in January 2007 to promote global and personal leadership, democracy, and free trade internationally. President Fox's appearance was co-sponsored by the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce and Latino Center of the Midlands. He'll present his unique insights and perspective on United States-Mexico economic relations and partnership opportunities. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Tuesday afternoon, November 11, 2008, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is David Brown, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce.
When elected to the presidency of Mexico in the year 2000, Vicente Fox broke the hold that the ruling Institutional Revolutionary Party had held on the state for seven decades. A charismatic reformer, President Fox is credited as playing a vital role in Mexico's democratization and was strengthening the country's economy. During his tenure, he succeeded in controlling inflation and interest rates and in achieving the lowest unemployment rate in all of Latin America. Since leaving office, President Fox has continued to be active on the global stage. In January 2007, he founded the Fox Center, Mexico's first presidential library and museum. Much of the center's programming focuses on promoting democracy and transparency around the world. Fox released his autobiography, Revolution of Hope, The Life, Faith, and Dreams of a Mexican President, in September of 2007. As a young man, Fox studied at the Ibero-American University in Mexico City and took courses administered by the Harvard University Business School. He then joined the working world and began driving a truck for the Coca-Cola Company in 1964. He was quickly promoted and soon became the youngest executive to ever be appointed president of Coca-Cola for Mexico and Latin America. President Fox began his political career in 1988 with his election to represent his home state of Guanajuato in the Mexican Congress. He then served as governor of Guanajuato from 1995 until his election of president in the year 2000. Please welcome former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox.
Muchísimas gracias. Muchísimas gracias. ¿Cuántas y cuántos hablan español aquí? ¡Woo! Eso está muy bien. Muy buenas tardes. I am really pleased to be here today, except the weather. The day has been magnificent. As you know, we came to sign an agreement with the Gallup company. We're associating with the Gallup University and Centro Fox this presidential library, this democratic center right there in the state of Guanajuato, with maybe many of you know, in the ranch of San Cristobal, this very small community where my grandfather came in 1895 as a migrant, by the way, without a penny in his pocket. From Cincinnati, Ohio, he decided to take a horse, ride all the way down, crossing deserts, mountains, rivers, borders, and he decided to settle in Guanajuato. Of course, he was looking for his American dream. He was looking for a job. He didn't have a penny in his pocket, but he had that courage those aspirations that this very special caste of human beings have. Those who go after the dreams, those who cross mountains to find a better life for them and for their families. And this is what many, many Mexicans do. That's why a mis paisanos, a mis queridísimos mexicanos y mexicanas, those who are in this great nation, with your permission, I like to tell them that I admire them, that they are my heroes. They are, in a way, my example in life. They're always trying to reach the unreachable. They are always committed to their families. Loyal people, people with dignity, hard-working, quality, loyal to this great nation, and to them, my regards and my admiration. We're signing this contract with Gallup so that we work together, Centro Fox and the Gallup Company, in promoting jobs in Mexico, in promoting leadership in Mexico, in promoting answers to the future. We are neighbors, Mexico and United States. We're friends. We've been friends for a long, long time. We know each other very well. And time ago, we decided to become partners. But 12 years ago, through NAFTA, we decided to build up that dream of working together, looking for better future to our communities, better future to our families, better future to both of our nations. I think it was a visionary act. Some part of our respective societies rejected the deal and thought it was not going to be good for either one of us. But today, 12 years after, if we look at the hard facts, at the information, the data, and the figures, we know that it worked, and that it worked extremely well for both of our nations and also for Canada. It worked well because, I'll give you some facts, the trading we do within NAFTA is the largest trading block in the world. The consumer market that we conformed together, the three of us, Canada, United States, and Mexico, is the largest consumer market in the world. The trading that Mexico does, mainly with the United States, as well as with other nations in the world, make the Mexican economy and the Mexican trading balance to be the seventh largest in the world. As a matter of fact, the trading that Mexico does because of NAFTA is larger than the total trading that Latin America makes a year, including Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, and all the rest. We do in trading, Mexico does in trading, over $500 billion. When NAFTA started, we used to make $30 billion. Today is $500 billion. out of which we buy, we import from the United States $200 billion every year. And $200 billion means a lot of jobs. Jobs for U.S. citizens. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of jobs for U.S. citizens. We buy cars, we buy computers, we buy telephone, cellular telephones, we buy tires, we buy washing machines. We buy most every consumer product. We buy meat from Nebraska. We buy services from Gallup. We buy an import, $200 billion worth of products. But not only that, this NAFTA association has made possible the intense flow of investment to both of our nations. Just huge investment coming from the United States to Mexico. Because it's very strategic today to invest in Mexico. Because we have 42 trade agreements. We not only have trade agreements with Canada and the United States, Mexico has trade agreements with Europe, with the 30 and some nations associated to the European Union. We have trade agreements with Japan, with most every nation in Latin America, 42 trade agreements. We are one of the most open economies in the world. And through those trade agreements, we buy and we sell. And trading, no doubt, generates wealth, creates jobs to everybody. Imagine the difference of this Mexico today having the most open economy compared to last century. We, Mexico, and we, Latin America, on the 20th century, did very poorly. If you look at the data and the statistics, you will find out that during the 20th century, the region that least progressed and that had the least increase in per capita income and in gross product was Latin America. And there are reasons for that. As you well know, very unfortunately, we spent most of our time in the 20th century in hands of dictators who often recalled the military dictatorships in Brazil, in Argentina, in Colombia, in El Salvador, in Venezuela, and most in every nation in Latin America. Who also recalled the authoritarian governments that we had, like in the case of Mexico, 71 years under one single-party ruling with a regime that was extremely authoritarian. So in Latin America, we did not enjoy democracy and freedom, which is very key for human development, for economic development, because we human beings are at our best, produced the most of our capacities in actions when we are on a positive environment, when we have peace and stability, when we have certainty, when we have rule of law. Is when we do the best and accomplish the most out of ourselves. And freedom is a key issue. Either personal freedom so that you can create, so that you can let your ideas fly, and your dreams go as high as possible, that's when you see innovation, creativity. And this is what we missed on the 20th century in Latin America and in Mexico. Very fortunately, we woke up at the end of the century, the 80s and the 90s, where most of Latin American nations decided to go for democracy. And we got rid of the dictators. And we got rid of the authoritarian governments. And we finally became democracies. Today, we're very young, fragile democracies in Latin America. But we did want it to go further. So we made the necessary economic reforms, which were very harmful, which were very painful, especially to the poor in our nations. And we accepted the challenge launched by this great nation to open our markets. And we hesitated to open our markets. We thought we were going to lose the few jobs that we had then. But we accepted the challenge. We made the reforms and we opened our markets. And today in Latin America, we know that works. We know that democracy and freedom is the proper environment for economic development and human development. We know today that market economy with responsibility works. In these last 10 years, Latin America has enjoyed the best 10 years in growth, in increase in per capita income, in reduction of poverty that we have had in decades. But today we are facing and confronting the same problem that you are here in the United States, this mammoth financial crisis that originated here in the United States. And that at the very end is the consequence of overexpanding our economies and of having enjoyed those 10 years of expansion and growth, of improving income, of reduction in poverty, of growth in different corporations and companies, growth in different nations. So we come from 10 good years, not only Latin America, but the whole of the world. But this came to an end with this crisis that we're confronting today. And the financial system is sick, is not having the possibility to keep providing the fuel of resources, of economic resources, that the real economy needs to keep moving ahead, to keep generating wealth, and to keep generating jobs. Fortunately, most every nation and all of its institutions are working in trying to solve this huge problem. And we see meetings and meetings, and we see congresses, and we see parliaments, we see local governments, state governments, national governments. We see the whole of the European Union working on bringing solutions to the problem. We see Asia worried and making the same effort. And that's where leadership comes about. All this talent that is being implemented to solve the problem is going to bring in results. I'm absolutely sure and convinced. The first step is to take out the sick part, the tumor, the cancer out of the real economy so that we can keep the economy running. And this is exactly what Mexico did back in 1994 with the FOBAPROA action and solution to our mammoth crisis of December of 1994, where most Mexicans, not to say every Mexican family, lost half of its patrimony in one night. And the solution was FOAPROA, as well as today the solution is a bailout. And some questions whether government should intervene or not. Some question whether the market should solve the problem by itself and the private sector. But the thing is that behind that, it's families, it's human beings, it's persons that are about to lose their patrimony, about to lose the savings of all of their life, that are about to lose their job and their income. So governments have to act. Government has to intervene. It's legitimate. It's mandatory. It's an obligation for all democratic governments to safeguard these assets of families, this patrimony of families. Unfortunately, it's being done. So at the very end, I think that as we experience in Latin America, this will end up being like trimming a tree so that it flourishes back again. The Bible says there is time for skinny cows, and there is time for fat, milk-giving cows. And these are the cycles of the economy. We're finishing a cycle of 10 years of growth. Now we will have to slow down and moderate growth for a time. Maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. It will be a different length of time to different economies. Mexico is working and working hard, making sure that our economy is strong, that keeps moving, that our financial system is not lost on this turbulence, so that at the very end we create the jobs that we need. Mexico's population used to grow at 3.5% a year. There is no economy that can provide enough jobs, enough homes, enough spaces in universities for an expanding population growth like the one we used to have 20 years ago. But fortunately, today, Mexico is down to growth of less than 1%. And this brings us a great opportunity. Mexico will not grow its population further than 135 million. Today, we're 105. And this 135 will be reached by year 2030. And that's it. No more expansion of our population in Mexico. When you put together the pyramid of population, United States, Canada, and Mexico, you notice immediately the differences. Mexico is a young population, very energetic. United States is an elderly population that needs to sustain its pension plans, its Medicare system for its elderly. And that can only be done through young, working force to provide for that. And this is why we are complementary economies, the three of us partners in NAFTA. And this is why the relationship between Mexico and United States is so delicate, it's so strategic. And we must have clear vision what lies ahead, what is the path that we should go on. And very unfortunately, there is a lot of misleading information for the decision makers. There is a lot of misunderstanding of the problems and the challenges of the future. Building a wall is no answer to our problems and to our neighborhood and to our border. Instead of building walls, we should be building bridges, bridges of understanding. Bridges of cooperation between our nations, bridges of education exchange and technology exchange, bridges of friendship and understanding. And that's how we can build a better future for us, because we have big problems. We have big problems, for instance, in drug trafficking. Right now in Mexico, we have huge problems of violence. I'm sure you're reading about the many killed every day on this war against cartels, on this war between cartels and Mexican government. 10, 12, 15, 20 people killed every day. We're in the middle of a war. And again, this is a problem that we share with the United States. And some ask why. There's an answer to that. Mexico just happens to be in between the huge and largest drug consumer market in the world and the drug-producing nations of the South. The Venezuelas, the Colombias, the Bolivias. And Mexico has been used as a transit country to bring the drug up to the north. And I question myself pretty frequently, once that drug is crossed the border, who moves it up north? How it gets to Chicago, to Omaha, to Seattle, to New York, to San Francisco, to Atlanta, to everywhere. And yes, Mexico is taking a decision. Fortunately, we have a very strong, courageous president today, Don Felipe Calderón. And he has taken a decision that very few leaders, presidents or prime ministers, take worldwide. He decided that we must cut the supply of drugs to our youth in Mexico. We must refrain and cut the supply of drugs to United States youth. And that's a courageous decision. And Presidente Calderón is pretty well aware of the consequences of the decision he has made. And this is why we're undergoing that war. Because the determination is to end up with the cartels and with the crime organizations. And yes, we have to work together. U.S. enforcement and security agencies, the ones in Mexico and the ones in Colombia and the ones in Venezuela. Well, in Venezuela, you don't get that cooperation with Hugo Chavez. On the contrary, he, in a way, is supporting drug and supporting cartels. But Mexico, United States, Colombia, and others, we can do the job. And we're doing it. And we're going to win this war, no doubt. And this is why the importance of that relationship between Mexico and the United States and the importance to the future. You just have gone through to the most exciting electoral process that a democracy can carry on. It really was an example for the rest of the world. It really is inspiring and motivating for young democracies like the ones we have in Latin America to witness this 200-year-old democracy still so young, so fresh, so dynamic, so exciting as we could see on this process. Today, we know who is the president-elect in this great nation. And it is motivating. It brings hope to the future, not only to U.S. citizens. It brings that same values to the rest of the world. And this is one of the great products of democracy. Alternation in power, renewal, and to regain hope to the future. And that was accomplished in this electoral process. But now the man has to sit on the chair. And now he has to start meeting the challenges that this great nation has. And he has to start looking at the rest of the world. Because if anything we learn from this mammoth financial crisis is that today the world is flat. And there is no walls that you can construct. It's not any way that you can isolate yourself. Like powder, once the match was lighted on the U.S. financial system, it extended in a matter of hours to the rest of the world. And it hit the same in Bangladesh that it hit in Chile or in Mexico, that it hit in Asia or in Africa. So today the challenges of this nation is coming back to leadership. We learned a lot from this nation. We learned to open our markets and compete. And when we learned and we became competitive, now this nation is saying, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I have to protect my jobs within. We didn't say that when we opened our markets in Mexico or in Chile or everywhere else. Trading is wealth creation. Trading is job creation. So we must keep open our economies and our markets. There is no better way to protect the jobs of this nation than opening markets and ensuring that markets of other economies and nations are open. Because we cannot start building walls. Imagine this wall that is being constructed by Mexicans, by the way. Imagine that right across the Rio Grande, we build our wall. Mexico builds our own wall. And so no imports from the United States. The loss is 200,000 worth, 200 billion thousand worth of imports. We have to keep our economies open. We know the next administration here in the States will meet all those challenges in the world. Moving from unilateralism to multilateralism. Moving from military interventions to diplomacy. Moving from moving from imposing your own criteria and your own ideas to listening and accepting that other nations do have their own ideas also. This nation is going to be meeting conflicts all over the world, meeting violation to human rights like is happening in Congo today, and meeting the challenges of preserving democracy and freedom all over the world. But more so, it has to meet the challenges of its neighbors and its friend nations, like the case of Mexico or Latin America. We all remember the Marshall Plan, that strong moving idea that changed the face of Europe. What the European Union has today is a consequence of that decision that was taken then. We all miss the leader in Latin America. We remember that commitment of President Kennedy of Alliance for Latin America and with Latin America. So we need the leader back. We need to work that relationship and make sure that we change the way things are today. I finish with this. Think about it. What would be better for United States than having a wealthy, healthy neighbor nation in Mexico? What would be better than reaching convergence in the fundamentals of our economy and the level of income of our citizens? Canada and United States enjoy the same income levels. And that's what we should try to reach between Mexico and United States, to equal income on one side or the other in the border. And it's that gap is narrowing. It used to be 10 times the income of United States compared to the income in Mexico. Today is down to six times, and in the border is four times. So we are on the right track, we're on the right process, and I'm always optimistic that we'll have a successful Latin America, a successful Mexico, and a successful United States on this 21st century. So thank you very much for your attention. I wish you well. And please go ahead with your comments and your questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. My name is Daniel Padilla, and as the president of the Latino Center of the Midlands, and on behalf of the Board of Directors, the Executive Director, and all of our constituents, we want to once again extend you and your wife the warmest welcome into Omaha. Your speech was fascinating, especially coming from one of the greatest leaders that Mexico has had in history. Gracias. And now, if you allow me, I had a few questions that some members of the audience submitted in advance. One of the hallmarks of your presidency was an upholding of NAFTA and a closing of the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico. This relationship has brought tremendous economic benefits for both countries. Given the historic election that has just taken place here in the U.S., how do you envision both the economic and political relationship between the two countries maturing over the next decade?
Well, I think that we should keep pursuing the dream that we can have a new vision on NAFTA. And to me, it's inspiring the process followed in the European Union. Took 50 years of commitment, of will, of compassion, and of solidarity. Who could have imagined that the proud Germany or France or Britain would decide that they wanted to have better neighbors, more successful neighbors? Everybody would think that by supporting the developing processes of Spain, Greece, or the other poor nations at that time would erode the wealth of the rich nations. That didn't happen. These rich nations keep growing through the years, kept improving income and quality of life to their citizens. You know that today, Britain or Germany enjoy almost the same income, per capita income levels that you have here in the United States, but much better distributed income. The gap on distribution on Europe is like this. The gap of distribution of income in the States is like from there to down here. So they done the miracle in Europe. Ireland, 25 years ago, $3,000 per capita income. Ireland of today, 40,000 per capita income. Same as United States. Spain, 3,500 then, 26,000 today. Greece and Portugal, 2,000 then, today, 20 to 25,000. Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, only been within the Union a couple of years. And they are moving pretty fast on increasing their per capita income. So it works. And what you can see of how it was done is by this cohesive fund, which is whereby every nation of the Union provides 2% of their gross product into this huge pocket, this huge amount of money, that everybody, that every year accounts for more than $100 billion U.S. dollars. And the destiny of that fund is to invest it in poor region, underdeveloped areas, poor families, invested in infrastructure, invested in education. That's the way these nations were able to move upward and close the gap between Spain and France or between Portugal and Germany. And immigration stopped, the old kind of immigration where Spaniards, Greek, Portuguese would go to work to France, to Germany. Once they improved the situation in their nations, they came back to their own nations. So it works. That would be my vision for NAFTA, step by step, slowly, making sure that we advance together, the three nations, so that we extend the process and the benefits then to the rest of Latin America. And it can be done as it was done in Europe.
Thank you. Is the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America simply a precursor of the North American Union and a new monetary union with the currency being the Amero?
What was the end of the question?
That the currency is going to be called the Amero.
Okay. We don't have to copy other models. I just mentioned this of the European Union because I think that could be inspiring. Like, for instance, for Martha and myself, it was inspiring to see former presidents in the United States so active to see the construction of those presidential libraries and the impact they produce, to see the projects of President Carter or President Clinton or former presidents. It was inspiring to us, so we decided to build the first presidential library in Latin America and, of course, in Mexico. But we moved to a new kind of institution. The Fox Democratic Center is a think tank. It's an academic institution. It is a cultural place. And so we, out of one idea, we constructed something that is appropriate for Mexico. So I don't think that we should isolate, more so isolate in ideas. We can always see what others are doing and learn from other processes. Thank you.
How does Mexico plan to deal with the current global credit crisis, especially since the source of the credit crisis is just to the north of Mexico?
You mean the financial crisis?
Yes.
Okay, very fortunately, in the case of Mexico, this crisis came about when we have a very strong economy. We met the objective in the last 10 years of converging with U.S. fundamentals of the economy. For instance, when I finished my term, Mexico had a lower inflation rate than the one in the United States. When I finished my term, we had interest rates equivalent to interest rates here in the States. And at that time, we reduced foreign debt to half of what it was. We reduced it from over $85 billion down to less than $40 billion. And we increased monetary reserves for the nation, for Mexico, from $40 billion up to $80 billion. So we are caught on this crisis with a very strong economy and very strong fundamentals of the economy. And I already mentioned our export activities, the strength of our economy. So although we will be hit the same as any other economy, we will not have a crisis like the ones we used to have before. More so, Presidente Calderón immediately took action to protect the patrimony of families and the poor, specifically, to protect the savings, and to protect the homes and the mortgages. So I think that Mexico will navigate with success through this crisis. And most of Latin America is going to be the same. I think we're very lucky that we were caught after these 10 years of growth, expansion, and consolidation of our economies.
Thank you. If you had the opportunity to serve your presidential term over again, what would be one thing that you would like to do differently?
Well, that's wishful thinking. You know, every day you and me, we wake up to go to work or to go to school or to go wherever we work with the intention of doing our best, of taking the best decisions that we can. And we do that according to the actual circumstances, according to the environment that we have that day. So decisions taken like that, you cannot repent on. The only thing I repent on is not having had time enough, money enough, to do as many things as are needed to do in Mexico, especially in making sure that every single kid is in a school, and making sure that every family has food on their table, and that every person has an opportunity of a job. Those are the objectives and the dreams. But I'm satisfied with having worked every minute and every second with all of my modest talent, with all of my energy. And that same purpose is the one that Martha and I have for the rest of our lives. We just have to keep working. We want to keep working on defending freedom and democracy, on defending and promoting market economy with responsibility, on promoting public policies, powerful public policies to defeat poverty, to increase health, housing, and income of people. So it's just something that I learned with Jesuits, that by being for others, by serving others, your fellow neighbor or anybody, it's the only way you encounter your own happiness. It's the only way you find your dreams. And this is a belief and a commitment that I have had all throughout my life. And that's what I want to keep on doing. We make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Especially I speak too much. And press always cuts me on saying something wrong. But still, I try to do my best every day, as you do every day on your challenges.
Thank you.
Has Mexico reached the point politically where they are a truly multi-party system, or is the PRI still the dominant political party? And if you can elaborate on why you feel that the other parties have or have not reached the point where they can also be a factor in Mexico's political climate.
No, it is true that Mexico has reached a status of a democracy that has constructed the institutions to protect and nourish that democracy. We do have a system of political parties, maybe too many of them, three very competitive, the PRI, the PAN, the PRD, and anybody can win or lose, but we all must respect the rules of democracy, because frequently electoral processes are questions, and frequently the one defeated is claiming that there was fraud. Mexico has constructed a very strong institutional body on its electoral authorities, although I don't agree with the recent changes made to the system. But still, I think that Mexico has one of the strongest electoral systems, well-protected and a good guarantee to citizens' votes. So this is the cornerstone of building a successful Mexico of the 21st century. And this is why I mentioned so frequently that democracy is not for granted. Democracy is something that we have to nourish, to promote, to care for, and then it will consolidate further on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Bueno, solo unas palabras más. Centro Fox web address is centrofox.org.mx. Please visit us. Number two, please visit us in Guanajuato. I make an open invitation to all of you to come to Rancho San Cristobal to share with us beans, tortillas, enchiladas, and the best mole produced anywhere in the world, the mole of San Cristobal. There we can have a good tequila, enjoy conversation, and visit the center. Of course, Marta always worries when I make this invitation because she will start getting on her BlackBerry messages that we're coming tomorrow, we're coming day after tomorrow. Please, I mean it. When you come to Mexico, visit us. And thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to a program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We've heard an address by Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, and founder of Centro Fox, formed in January 2007 to promote global and personal leadership, democracy, and free trade internationally. President Fox's appearance was co-sponsored by the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce and the Latino Center of the Midlands. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Tuesday afternoon, November 11, 2008, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Marisa Ring, Manager of International Business Development at the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.